You're listening to Fakeologist's Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Test, test, 1, 2, 3. Hello, fellow truth travelers. This is Heroes from sunny Tampa, Florida, where it's, thankfully, the first day of October. I often joke with others that in Florida, we suffer through 6 months of August to enjoy 6 months of perfect. Well, we're nearing the season of perfect, and I, for one, am super psyched about that. You are listening to Fakeologist.com, and I'm here today to provide you with a one-sided chat, meaning I have a subject in mind, and I simply want to lay out a case for someone for something important to me, and perhaps it may even be important to you, or not. Regardless, let's get started. So yesterday, I had a good chat with An Ounce of Salt Per Day and K-Ham. Thank you very much. We ended up talking about the notions of good and evil at one point. When you think about it, we all wield those two words around so very, very often. But it seems to me that not many of us ever present a valid basis upon which we define the adjective good and the adjective evil. I did present the question to K-Ham, and to her credit, she shared with me that evil is more or less defined as that which does harm to others. I then asked her what her ultimate source of authority was in arriving at that conclusion or basis, and she said, myself. Okay, fair enough. K-Ham intrinsically determines what is good or evil, which is centered around the harming or not harming of others. That does break down for me a bit when I contemplate that cultures are made up of individuals, each intrinsically determining what is good or evil. And we all know that different cultures hold different traditions, right? In some cultures, they love thy neighbor. In others, they eat them. So I think I'd rather search for fundamental beliefs grounded in something a little bit more meaningful than mere self. I don't know about you, but I, for one, don't necessarily trust myself. But that's just me. Spoiler alert here. I'm going to tell you what grounds my personal beliefs, and then I'm going to tell you why. You ready? All right. Here we go. Todd Pittner, Heroes, ground my personal beliefs in what I believe to be the inspired word of God, the Bible. Shocker, right? Well, here's why. If a supernatural, personal, transcendent, causal agent does exist, which both K-Ham and Frank affirmed in yesterday's chat, if he does exist with or without our acknowledgement, and that's key, and if he, let's say, was so powerful that he could speak all, I'm talking all, universal matter, space, time, energy into existence from nothing, wouldn't creating life, personalities, wouldn't parting the Red Sea, turning water into wine, healing the sick, wouldn't revealing his nature through divinely inspired biblical authors, even raising a loved one from the dead, wouldn't that all be child's play? Yes or yes? Just being critically honest. I submit, yes, absolutely. It's okay, Ham. My God really is, and so tiny, 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 as you referred to him yesterday. After all, he's the maker of heaven and earth and other fine things, like the word tiny. But I digress. Back to why I believe the Bible to be the inspired word of God. Carl Sagan, pagan icon who used to be relevant, he submitted, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Well, Carl, not really. but let's war game this out and presume that you were actually right. I'm going to give you an extraordinary claim. The anchor of Christian faith, the Bible, was authored by God himself. Now I'm going to give you six extraordinary evidences, okay? Deep breath here. First, the Bible is not just one single book. It's a diverse collection of 66 thoroughly harmonious books with one single theme that contains a broad variety of genres: historical, narrative, epic, law, poetry, prophecy, wisdom, gospel, apocalyptic, and letters. Lots of letters. Many Christians aren't aware of this fact, let alone non-believers. Second, extraordinary evidence. These 66 books were written by 40 different authors. These authors came from a variety of backgrounds. Some were shepherds, fishermen, doctors, kings, prophets, tax collectors, and scholars. Why did I say scholars? I don't know why my voice went up, but it did. Sorry about that. Most of these authors never knew one another personally. To be certain, not one had a Facebook account. Pretty sure they didn't have a Twitter feed. And I think we have to ask Frank this, but I don't think any of them had a penis blog to collaborate with fellow co-conspirators to manufacture a fake left, go divine book of the ages. Okay, third, these 66 books were written over a period of 1,500 years. Yet again, this is another reminder that most of these authors never knew or collaborated with one another in writing the alleged fairy tale for grown-ups written by a bunch of Bronze Age goat herders. Go figure, the first book was written 3,500 years before Al Gore even invented the internet. Fourth, the 66 books of the Bible were written in three different ancient languages: Hebrew, Greek, and English. Just kidding on the English. Aramaic. Just wanted to see if you're awake. Congrats. Fifth, these 66 books were written on three different continents: Africa, Asia, and America. You caught me again. Europe, not America. Once again, this is a testament to the varied historical and cultural circumstances of God's people and his story. History. Okay, and finally, you don't read the Bible, it reads you. If you don't believe my claim, try me. Start with the four Gospels of the New Testament: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I suggest you start with John. And if you're feeling really, really bold and adventurous, before you begin, say something like the following out loud or just in your head. God, if you're really real, speak to me personally through your word. I'm open because I truly want to know. Okay, back the bus up. Think about what all I've shared. 66 books written by 40 different authors over 1,500 years in three different languages on three different continents, impacting serious readers personally. What's more, this collection of books shares a common storyline, which is the creation, fall, and redemption of God's people. Contains a common theme, which is God's universal love for all of humanity, and a common message that salvation is available to all who obey the gospel. We'll unpack the gospel in another one-way chat. But salvation is available to all who obey the gospel and follow God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. So go figure. These authors, they had no Pony Express, no teleconferencing, no internet, no Library of Congress, no foreknowledge that the First Council of Nicaea would even convene in 325 AD and actually select their little piece of prose to be included in one astonishing, perfect, harmonious book of scripture. Now, if you do not believe that the Bible is indeed the inspired word of God, if you do not believe that the Bible is of supernatural origin, then I challenge you, yeah, you, to a test. I challenge you to go to any library in the world. You can choose any library you want. And I challenge you to find 66 books which match the characteristics of the 66 books in the Bible. You must choose 66 books written by 40 different authors over 1,500 years in 3 different languages written on 3 different continents. However, they must share a common storyline, a common theme, and a common message with no historical errors or contradictions. Now, I submit your task would be impossible absent divine intervention for any collection of human writings. However, the Bible passes this test. To summarize, the Bible contains how many books? 66, class. Written by how many authors? 40. Over 1,500 years in 3 different languages on how many continents? 3. With no historical errors or contradictions. The entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, bears the mark of divine inspiration. That is why I believe the Bible to be the inspired word of God, and that is where I'm going to go to establish the basis for good, for evil, and anything else in life that counts. Boom! Mic drop. Now, a word from our sponsor, the God of the Bible, maker of heaven and earth and other fine things. Always remember, heaven is not an unending church service, but your personal hell sure might be. With that, I'm out. Cheers!
G'day guys, it's Harry L here from Melbourne, Australia, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.